This is Jackson Peterson, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Humboldt, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Sierra Doctor and Randy Conan. As expected, the USDA made no changes to U.S. corn or soybean production or yield estimates in the June supply and demand report. USDA did increase old crop corn ending stocks 35 million bushels to 1.45 billion bushels. Old crop soybean ending stocks were increased 15 million bushels to 230 million bushels. Wheat ending stocks were left unchanged.
Old crop ending stocks for corn, wheat, soybeans were nearly unchanged from the May estimates in the June WASD report. New crop world carryout was also nearly unchanged from the May report. New crop corn carryout is expected at 312.8 million metric tons, soybean carryout at 121.7 million metric tons, and world wheat carryout is expected at 264.2 million tons.
Total Farm Marketing Senior Market Advisor Naomi Bloom says today's WASD report pretty uneventful and demand numbers remained unchanged.
Now looking at the demand side of things for new crop, the USDA touched nothing for corn and soybeans and wheat and barley and oats and sorghum. They made no changes at all to demand. So classic USDA just totally kicking the can down the road. And all we're going to do now is back to weather watching here in the United States for the next market direction.
Bloom hopes to see some updates to demand by the July report.
So the fireworks are going to come. Now, what's interesting is that last year the USDA was really more forthright about demand and changing supply and adjusting to weather situations. They did it quickly. And now it feels like we're back to the USDA from 4 or 5 years ago that was slow to move on anything. So I'm really curious to see how we are going to be going forward, because there's a lot at stake, of course, as we know, around the world with tight supplies in the big picture here in the United States. And if we don't have perfect weather this summer, we're not going to have that record crop that they're hoping for to help keep food prices down, to help with their fight against inflation.
Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoop says USDA gave a benign report.
USDA did not make any changes to corn or soybean production, which really was not expected. They've never made a soybean production change in the month of June, and a handful of times they have for corn. And I think they certainly would have been justified in doing it this year with crop ratings really sinking, but it seems like this happened maybe more after June 1 than prior to that. There wasn't much of a crop problem, crop stress prior to June 1. That's really been developing here recently, and wheat production rising a little bit. I think that makes some sense. You know, the crop ratings have been improving. There's been good rain since our last supply and demand report, so I don't think that was a shock or a trade to anyone.
The rest of the numbers were in line with trade estimates.
They just elected to leave everything else unchanged, and I don't think anybody's real surprised. We're already back to trade weather now after this report's been released, and trying to figure out if it's going to rain and how much. You know, world numbers, Argentina and South America numbers, those are pretty much as expected as well. World production and ending stocks both on the rise, and that was pretty much as expected. Not a surprise to the trade there, I didn't think either.
Bennett Consulting market analyst Matt Bennett says crop conditions will be the most important market factor going forward.
It just seems pretty evident to me that the GFS model continues to be wet, and the Euro model continues to be dry. And quite frankly, the Euro model has been correct more than the GFS so far. That doesn't mean that it's going to stay that way, but we need to see verification of a good widespread rainfall event before everyone starts to feel better that we're going to break out of this rut.
And getting moisture in the next week to 10 days will be crucial.
Out here in central Illinois, I mean, we are dry as a bone. There's no question about it. Drought, yeah, on the black ground that we're hanging on, but the light ground's starting to get really hurt, and so there's no doubt that we're going to be taking some yield off of this thing if we stay dry the next 2 weeks. So really, the next week to 10 days, pretty darn important.
Recent rains should help some spotty emergence. Rolla, North Dakota farmer Tim Michelson would like to see a good general soaking rain.
Our area, it's either fairly wet in some spots or it's completely bone dry in other spots. So there's canola that's still struggling, still blotchy, trying to come in some of the wheel tracks. So, boy, a real widespread beneficial rain, I think, would help some of that. Obviously, the areas that have gotten an inch or 2 inches are not going to need that. But we are not getting a general rain. We're getting pop-up showers, and it's real variable in our area.
Michelson says his biggest challenge field is a soybean field.
I didn't want to go too deep with it, and the ones that went a little deeper popped up nicely, and some of the beans just got left in dry dirt. And we did catch a rain on that field, so I think some of that is going to be emerging now in the next day or two. But canola, same way. I mean, some of them are just, you can pull the top layer of dirt back, and they're sitting in dry dirt waiting for a good shower.
Pioneer agronomist Christy Sundin has seen a flurry of flea beetle activity in some canola fields.
So I don't know about Western North Dakota. I haven't heard of much happening out there. I talked to field agronomist Larry Lunder here just the other day, actually. They haven't seen a whole lot of activity. I would say the Devil's Lake, Cavalier County, Towner County, Rowlett, kind of in that area, there definitely is some flea beetle pressure. But again, it's very spotty. Any fields that did not have 2 insecticides in the seed treatment, those are the fields that are getting sprayed, or uneven emergence. If there's uneven emergence, some of the later stuff that's coming up, just to try to get that stand going, there's growers that are throwing an insecticide out there as a foliar application.
North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer wants the EPA and Army Corps of Engineers to follow the action of the Supreme Court and change the way it handles the Waters of the United States rule. Cramer says there is no reason for delays from the Biden administration. In a letter to both agencies, Cramer said action should be taken to prevent further delay in determining jurisdiction. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Pulse crop progress looks promising so far in western North Dakota. That according to Columbia Grain's Ross Bullock, insect pressure is showing up.
We went down to Newtown and Keene, Watford City, and Williston. Down in that direction, things seem to be going off without a hitch so far. Crops look pretty good. 3-inch tall lentils down there, anywhere from 6 to 10-inch tall peas. And around the Stanley area, Newtown area, maybe some of those peas will be flowering here in 15 days. So far, the hot, humid weather has been okay for the peas. However, they're going to be needing a drink pretty soon here. Grasshoppers are starting to come out. Did talk to one producer that already sprayed 1,000 acres down south there around the Watford City area.
Other areas saw more frequent heavy rains causing some planting delays.
When we got up to west of Mohall, very, very late planted stuff, possibly some pea around that area, peas 3 inches tall. And then as we got towards Kenmare, things started to perk up again. Producers around there missed some rains the last couple of weeks, so they were able to get a lot of their crop in. And then going up to Crosby here, things are looking a little bit better than what it sounded like on the phone. Stopped and talked to a producer that did end up getting all this crop in. However, having a little bit of problems with flea beetle in the canola crop up here. And things are definitely behind, but I guess I had a worse picture in my head before I came up here.
It's been a time of wild weather with the late spring and extended period of heat and pop-up storms. Bayer Crop Science customer business advisor Ryan Fisher says that has included hail in the region.
In a lot of cases, those early season crops can handle some hail when it comes to corn and soybeans in that regard. As long as their growing point is still viable, like with corn, a lot of times our growing point is still below the soil. Some fields may be getting past that stage around, that V4 to V5 timing is when that growing point starts to emerge. And on soybeans, as long as we don't lose the cotyledons, we can generate new growth from the axillary buds.
The best time to assess hail damage is 4 to 5 days after the storm.
In most cases I've looked at this spring, we're going to fare okay in that regard. So hopefully we get some rain. Let's keep the hail away.
The new team of North Dakota State FFA officers were elected at yesterday's final session. Newly elected State FFA President Ty McDonald is excited for the upcoming year.
Certainly getting to interact with all the members across the state, being at banquets and helping out with different competitions and events. Certainly excited for that, and I'm really curious to see kind of behind the scenes of everything that's going to take place. So, FFA, it's an organization that cares about students and seeing them grow, and yeah, that's the heart of it, and service to others.
Originally from the Bismarck chapter, McDonald says FFA is a family affair.
So I started in the FFA when I was in the eighth grade. I had two older brothers in the FFA, and they would kind of drag me along the meetings. And I was very shy and quiet when I first joined. And then it was really through the Creed speaking contest that I kind of learned to come out of my shell a little bit and really found out that I enjoyed public speaking. And then I've just been doing events like that ever since, LDE, CDs.
7th North Dakota FFA Convention is sponsored by Proceed, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, North Dakota Farm Bureau, North Dakota Beef Farmers and Ranchers through the Beef Checkoff, Farm Credit Services of Mandan, and North Dakota Farmers Union.
USDA announced $23 million in grant funding to support processing capacity expansion, on-farm improvements, and technical assistance to producers through the Dairy Business Innovation Initiative.
The House Education and Labor Committee has approved a bill allowing schools participating in the National School Lunch Program to serve whole milk. House Agriculture Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson, who is also a member of the Education and Labor Committee, introduced the bill. While the dairy industry praised the bill, the Center for Science in the Public Interest said it was a misguided and harmful bill. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com. Sign up for the weekly FarmNet newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. It's all at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Michael Johnson. Michael, what's on the cover of Ag Week this week?
So the cover this week, we took a real focus on basically planting progress and crop growth progress across the region. Kind of a good look at what's going on across North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, from all the reporters chipping in to take a closer look at that.
Are we seeing pretty consistently the same across all three states or not?
Pretty consistently things were fast and furious is kind of the way we looked at it. Things warmed up really quickly. Farmers were able to get into the ground and just stay there, keep going until they were done. The spotty rain showers is kind of also a big thing. Some areas have seen a little and some really haven't seen any. So there's a big theme is a need for water out there.
Yeah. Is that causing some uneven stands or emergence then?
Yeah. So like southern Minnesota, for example, there had to be some replanting going on because they did see some pretty dramatic rainfall. Other areas, in my area, central Minnesota, dry, but things got in and we're seeing pretty good growth. Things are a couple weeks ahead of schedule, it looks like.
Michael, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Looking at markets before we leave you, July wheat, Minneapolis, 5.25 lower at 810.5. September, down 6 at 812. Chicago wheat, 4 higher at 630.25. Kansas City, down 8.75. Corn, July, down 5 at 605.25. July soybeans, 22.75 higher at 1386. Canola, $9.40 a metric ton higher at $689.20 Canadian. Live cattle down 52 cents at $178.25. June, lean hogs, 22 cents higher. This is the Red River Farm Network.